And we are live on the Red Pill News. Take the red pill. Take the red pill. Take the red pill. Let me tell you, there's too many people with blinders on. Too many people not understanding what's going on in the world. Those people are part of the problem and not part of the solution. We need to get together as a people and evolve, go forward. And that means focusing on education, focusing on kindness, focusing on love. That's right. Love will rule the day. It ain't today, but love will rule the day. I like to think so anyway. I'm a hopeless romantic, unfortunately, man. You know, but when I see things like Ben Affleck, I know. I like talking about Ben Affleck these days. You know why? Because it's bubblegum for the brain. It doesn't make you feel any which way. It's just something that's there, and you know, it's juicy for a while, it's tasty for a while, then you spit it out. I'm done. And someone steps on it, and you got Ben Affleck stuck to their shoe. So I like this one. Ben Affleck checks overzealous fan looking for a selfie with Jennifer Lopez. So these guys are out in public. They have to expect people are going to come at them, especially people who are freaks. You got to see a picture of this dude. He looks like he was just sleeping on the curb, and now he's like running after the mega famous, mega hot little Lopez-y there, right? And Ben Affleck trying to kind of play it down. I'm in public, and I'm trying not to be Ben Affleck in public because I don't want people running at me. I don't feel bad. I don't feel bad for celebrities who can't go out anywhere. It's what they want. It's the business. Otherwise, Ben Affleck could have been Ben Affleck the electrician. Nobody would give a crap. You know, he'd be Ben Affleck the carpenter. He'd be Ben Affleck the cashier. You know what I mean? Nobody would care. You know, same for Jennifer Lopez. These guys chose to go a certain place. Ben Affleck's also an interesting character. He kind of poops on his career and thinks that there's better things for him. He wants to do like Shakespeare. And meanwhile, he's like running down the movie Armageddon. And if you've ever seen Armageddon, it's basically Ben Affleck and Bruce Willis save the Earth, you know, by drilling a hole in an asteroid. It's actually not a terrible movie. It's got some good people in it. It's interesting at times. I have to fast forward through the parts of, you know, just stuff that is claptrap. There's a lot of claptrap in it. But it's your typical action, adventure, explosions, you know, something to fear. This thing's going to happen. Something kind of an attack on the Earth. And Ben Affleck's in it. Ben Affleck thinks he can do Shakespeare in the Park, and it's going to pay him the millions and millions of dollars that he made from Armageddon, right? It's not going to happen. So basically, he needs to understand that he sells Pepsi, and she sells Pepsi, and they sell Pepsi or Coke, whoever buys them. And you get this guy, he looks like a wacko. Ben Affleck puts his hands on the dude, on his chest. The guy's trying to get a selfie with himself and Jennifer Lopez. Then you get the security jumping in. Dude looks like he was military. He's jumping into the scene. Already, I'll tell you this, as a security specialist and somebody who understands these things, if you're close enough for Ben Affleck to put his hand on your chest, you're close enough for this wacko to pull out a steak knife and plunge it into his chest. And the gung-ho security guy in the back will do nothing. He'll be able to do nothing. So these are the things that you have to avoid. The guy is a wacko. They probably should have had a little bit more of a security detail, but he looks like a guy I went to high school with. It might be him. I don't know, man. I haven't talked to him in a long time. Here we go. But I love this story. I like it because it's gallant, and he white knighted right away, Ben Affleck. He didn't jump to the back and push J-Lo forward. And it's like, I'm more important than you are. No, the guy jumped in front of her and did the gallant thing. I'm protecting my girl in public. Take away the identities of who these people are, actor-wise, right? And just kind of put them out there as the people that they are. The guy did something that not a lot of people would do. Guys in my era would, because we were honed and spoon-fed white knighting and sticking your nose into places that doesn't belong, getting yourself into trouble, and maybe even getting yourself killed. So really, basically it's don't be a hero, unless you have to be a hero. So that's the truth of it, right? So Ben Affleck, let me go back to the beginning. All right. Ben Affleck was forced to restrain an overzealous fan and looking to take selfies with actor and his superstar girlfriend, Jennifer Lopez. This guy wants to get a picture of her. She should be happy, man. But he looks like a psychopath. Like, definitely. Like, the dude just looks like he pooped on the sidewalk. And then here he is, like, take you out to jump in. I stopped pooping on the sidewalk to get this picture of you, Jennifer Lopez. Now I have to go back to poop on the sidewalk again. I don't even remember where it was. I need to find a new spot. Sniff around. While on their way out of Venice, following the city's annual film festival, the 49-year-old was snapped at the airport, physically blocking the maskless man who got a little too close for comfort while attempting to take photos. I thought Ben Affleck was older than 49. I know J-Lo is like 50-something. Affleck was the first to push the man away from Lopez, 52, as she stepped back amid the chaos. Soon, their personal bodyguard stepped up, grabbed the fan's wrist, and pushed him farther away from the celebrity super couple. All I see is Ben Affleck, he's got his head back. He's got a terrible stance, man. You think that these guys would, learn martial arts in their life or something, J-Lo's doing the right thing. She's standing back. She's going to, watch the guy kill Ben Affleck, and then she'll go back to A-Rod. He'll give her the comfort, You poor thing. Poor baby. Oh, poor Ben Affleck. Once the pathway was cleared, the couple joined hands once again and continued their way through the airport, keeping their heads low to avoid eye contact with the other potential freaks that are in the area that might want the same kind of action. See, their bodyguard's way too small, man. You need for James Bond, you want small and scrappy. For a bodyguard, you want big and wide. You want to keep people away from you. You need meat. You need an offensive line. All right. It was an eventful end to an eventful trip for Bennifer 2.0 as the handsome couple turns heads from minute landing in the city of canals, taking a water taxi to the Venice Film Festival before shutting down the red carpet together. Whee! Lopez accompanied her man in the show of support, and he promoted his last flick, The Last Duel. There you go. He just has last deal. He almost has last duel. What'd the guy do, man? He plunged a steak knife in your chest and you're gone. You got to stay away from people. Especially with some COVID. None of them had masks on. J-Lo was also able to squeeze in a quick photo shoot while riding through the city in a stunning Dolce and Gabbana number. You think she stopped to poop on the sidewalk too? Now, that'd be a headline. That'd be funny. The festival was the first celebrity event they attended together since rekindling their early romance. Blah, 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 blah. I like it. I like it. And I'm not even a fan. I could care less. I like the freakiness of it, you know? And I just saw A-Rod out there, like, talking all kinds of trash about J-Lo and why it didn't work. It's like, that's like the desperate, you know, trash talk. You know what I mean? And he was kind of just trying to play it down. I don't know. Here we go. I got to read this to you. As long as we're talking about these guys. Alex Rodriguez opens up about how he and his daughters are coping since his split from Jennifer Lopez days after she unfollowed him and wiped their relationship from Instagram. So in this day and age, you don't break up with people. You delete them, right? And this woman is not this loving, caring creature. She is the opposite of that, as a matter of fact, you know. And it's kind of funny in my life, what I've seen is the men who really love from their heart, but the opposite sex, not so much. And I think that men love women, but women love what men can do for them, type of thing. And now, you know, J-Lo, in her case, you could see how she just monkey branches from one person to the other without a care. And in one minute, they're deeply in love and whatever. The guys are, anyway. Next minute, she's back jumping on, you know, this other guy's lap. So this article is loser talk from one end to the other. As you swallow that red pill, keep in mind that this guy, you know, A-Rod, I don't think he's attractive because I don't think guys are attractive. You know, I think guys are, I can see how men can be, you know what I mean? Like if they've got asymmetrical looks and whatever, but this dude doesn't. I think he was a terrible baseball player too, even though he made a ton of money. Now he's like this big investor, right? He's out there. I've seen him on Shark Tank roaming around. Look at this picture of him looking at J-Lo. And I don't see, you know what? I don't see anything great about her. There must be something great about her for all these guys to go crazy for them. And, you know, like as for Ben Affleck, like now maybe not. I mean, A-Rod's had his share of beautiful women, right? But Ben Affleck has been through all the Hollywood crazies. I think every last one of them, and keeps centering back on this one. But this is funny. And it's more about, all right, here we go. All right. In a new interview with Entertainment Tonight, the former New York Yankees player shared that he's been focused on all the positives. Wait, I got to see this. This is the actual interview. Here we go. So here's a picture of J-Lo with A-Rod and all of his kids, man. Right? Even the cat or the dog or whatever the hell that is. Well, one, two, three, four kids. Don't you think that, you know, when you're in a relationship with someone that has kids, you have to take that into account. And it's hard to walk away from those relationships without, you know, caring for those kids or, you know, being in their lives and, you know, knowing their daily lives and whatever, right? So here we go. Here's your loser article. Here's your loser talk. Alex Rodriguez is in a great place 4 months after he and Jennifer Lopez called off their engagement. The retired New York Yankees player, 46 years old, she likes younger guys, you know, don't forget that, said, and, you know, Ben Affleck's younger. Remember that one guy that she was with? He was like 20-something. She bought him a pickup truck, and people, like, put the guy down, like, you know, he's some gigolo. Be happy. She bought him a pickup truck. The guy should be psyched. More women should buy men pickup trucks. Why not? You know what I mean? Really? The retired New York Yankees player, 46, said in a recent interview that he and his daughters, Natasha, 16 and a half. She's 16 and a half, for God's sake. Really? Who measures themselves like that? She's 16 and a half, right? Ella, 13. No half for that. You know what I mean? And whom he shares his with ex-wife, Cynthia Skirtis. And they're all currently focused on all positive things in their lives after J-Lo. J-Lo left them lives like a crater in the ground. I had 5 years of an incredible life and partnership. And also, with my daughters, we learned so much, Rodriguez told Entertainment Tonight. Rodriguez and his girls lived together as a blended family with Lopez, 52 years old, and her 13-year-old twin daughters, Emmy Maribel, and son Maximilian David, whom he shares with ex-husband Mark Anthony. She, not A-Rod, she. So you got the kids together, right? A-Rod, J-Lo, the kids, right? Rodriguez added to Entertainment Tonight that he and his daughters now have the opportunity to take that and move forward and say, you know what? We're so grateful that she's gone. Oh, wait, I mean, you know what? We're so grateful for the last 5 years. How do we make the next 5 years better because of lessons learned? Find someone who's going to stay with you. Find someone decent, not somebody who's monkey branching around. Find somebody you find some nobody, just some pretty girl, works at Walmart, go in there, order some nice mashed potatoes and some fried chicken, and tell the girl, hey, I'm A-Rod. You want to go out on a date? Ain't going to happen. But it would be a beautiful story, wouldn't it? That's like a lifetime story, except they would put some evil dude in there. You know, it'd be evil dude. He said, I'm so in a great place. I'm so grateful for where God and he said, God. And this is exactly how he said it. So I'm going to say, it. I'm so grateful for where God and the light has really put me, and I'm really looking forward mostly to see how my girls keep developing. Now, whenever somebody references God to a major cataclysm in their life, thinking that J-Lo left them and that is a major cataclysm at some point, you know that they're already in the world of Fruit Loops. You know what I mean? They're in that world. And they're, instead of saying, I don't care. That seems to be like my favorite thing to say these days. You know, I start seeing these things and I'm like, I don't care. You know, and not only do I not care, my life is so complicated that I don't have time to refocus on insignificant crapola. Every time I look at the news, I don't watch TV news. Like, you know, if I'm looking on the internet and I'm even going to my trusted sources, I keep seeing this potato. I'm sad. She's dead. I'm sad that the warning signs weren't seen well before this. Nobody knows what the hell happened. And if she wasn't some strung out like white chick with the blonde hair and the good looks and the nice body, she wouldn't even be a headline in the news. You know, there are plenty of people, girls of all colors, you'll never hear about today. The same thing's happening to them right now. They're being murdered right now, and you will never hear about them. But the media has soaked itself with this garbage. And then you get Dog the Bounty Hunter. Here comes reality, the lower rung reality TV show. Right, Dog the Bounty Hunter, the other guy, the missing persons, they all have this idea. They know this, they know that, they're doing this. You know what? It's disgusting. Every second of it, just honor the girl, the family's mourning, find the guy, charge him for murder, do what you got to do. If he's the one that did it, put him away and be done. Be done with it, right? Anyway, this interview comes after fans noticed that Lopez deleted most photos of Rodriguez from her Instagram. In addition to unfollowing him, she kept the family photos up that featured Rodriguez and his daughters. Ah. The exes officially called off their engagement in April, telling People in a statement that they're better off as friends and look forward to remaining so. Ugh. Does that ever happen, really? I mean, really? The couple began dating in 2017, and they announced their engagement. This guy didn't want to break up with her, you know, because obviously he's still crying over it. Jennifer and Alex are figuring out how to be exes and still remain friends. Yeah, she'll come over with Ben Affleck and do a lap dance for him while A-Rod's sister serves him lemonade. Right? Right? That's all. And Ben could be like, dance for me, A-Rod. And he'll be like, Let's see. A source told People in April that, adding that the kids are okay, admit the breakup. They want to be considerate of them as possible. Jennifer has been such a big part of Alex's daughter's lives, and she will continue to be a big part. So there's nothing wrong with that, right? Then she'll go pick up, you know, limousine will come over, the daughter, A-Rod, the daughters jump in the car, they'll go out, do their thing, nice posh restaurants, cool stuff to do with Ben Affleck, and they'll come back, kids will get out, and A-Rod be like, hi, kids, how are you doing, how was it? Oh, but Ben Affleck is so nice, Dad, he's such a sweet kind guy, you know. Oh my God, and they're just so in love, you know. You should see the way they kiss. A-Rod sitting there like, let me call People magazine and give them a story. I'm doing okay. Bad enough you gotta tell people you're doing okay when nobody asked. Rodriguez celebrated his birthday in Saint-Tropez last month. You see, he's not doing bad. Saint-Tropez, did you guys celebrate your birthday in Saint-Tropez last month? Expressing his gratitude in a celebratory birthday post. Oh God. I can't bear to read this to you, but I have to. I'm compelled to, man. Ah, yes. I'm feeling so grateful today, not just for celebrating my big day with my incredible friends and family on this magical trip. He's talking about the hotel staff and whoever he decided to fly there with him for his big day, but for all the well wishes, love, and support everywhere. Let's see. He said right? He just wants to know that he wants everyone to know that he loves them. And even J-Lo. J-Lo, it's my birthday, please. Come to Saint-Tropez, put in your bikini, J-Lo. J-Lo. Don't worry. J-Lo's hitting the wall, man. I mean, she's already 52. But there must be something more to that. Must be something more that entices these guys. I don't know. I couldn't ask for anything more. Thank you all, he wrote. He did tagline right. Thank you all. Here's to a healthy, happy, meaningful 365 days for all of us. So are we supposed to, like, just celebrate his birthday? Because I really don't care. I don't care. Remember I said that earlier? I don't care about his birthday. I care about him. I'm feeling so grateful today. Not just for celebrating my big day with my incredible friends. That's just such, ugh. At this time, he also shared a birthday tribute from Ella on his Instagram story. Happy birthday, Daddy, Ella wrote. I'm with J-Lo and Ben Affleck flying in their private aircraft. And man, we're having fun. Shared a photo of her father-daughter duo in an embrace. Good A-Rod. Happy birthday, Dad. Am I evil for that? No, I'm not. You know what? It's funny. Because it shows you that you could be this billionaire. Is he a billionaire? I don't know if he's a billionaire. I know he invested in a lot of stuff. You could be that guy and still suffer like a lonely dog chained to a tree in the middle of the night. Nobody loves you, man. Like that. That was A-Rod. He said, I'm in Saint-Tropez, chained to a tree, a palm tree, and nobody loves me. But it's just, it's kind of interesting to see these celestial bodies levitate to one another and away from one another and in a painful scenario. That's all. So I have to talk about this. And it's a terrible, terrible thing what this guy did to this woman. I have to warn you all now that it should never have happened, right? This is humanity at its worst. Okay. You know what influencers are, right? They're people that have all these fans, but they make no money, basically. Or some of them can make money if they get sponsors, like anybody, right? So this girl is an influencer, and she listed her worst date ever, right? And all the fans are like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. A guy tricked her into buying 100 tacos. So this is the crap that's on TikTok. I don't go on TikTok because there's no reason to. I'm trying to get away from the anti-social media as it is, because it doesn't make me feel good. I'm trying to just focus on things that make me feel good. I'm on my mission to stay away from these horrible negative things, even though I talk about it on the show because it's funny as hell. If you're part of it, it's not funny because, you know, we're laughing at those guys. They can't laugh at themselves. So anyway, a TikTok influencer has gone viral on social media for recounting the worst date ever, in which her prospective beau allegedly tricked her into buying 100 tacos. A clip chronicling, with a chronicle of her maddening meetup post. So she put all these posts from the guy, and this is what it got: 14 million views. So all these posts, the guy, like, I guess, making his move, trying to get some tacos. Let's see. She said, I haven't been to a Taco Bell since, who knows? The TikTok influencer posted in the clip response: Taco Bell sucks. It sucks. It sucks. Who the hell wants Taco Bell? The guy, little chihuahuas running around in there, man. Is that really their like image of a Taco Bell? You know something? My image of Taco Bell or tacos is tacos. You know, there's like Quiznos subs, and they have like a rat that's their mascot. It's a rat. I went in there one time. I'm like, what's up with the rat? And the guy's like, well, it's kind of a mouse. It's not a mouse, it's a rat. You have a rat or a mouse or rat, whatever you want to call it, as your mascot. You're not trying to get me to buy food from you. That's it. Anyway, let's see. The worst date of, she's been on. She's so glad. Blah, blah. Let's see. Oh, now, before I met my smoke show of a husband, I was on dating apps. This man messages me out of the blue and goes, I like your face. Let's go get some food. Despite the oddball pickup line, Myers agreed to the date. So I wonder if a smoking hot husband, he must know it by now, went along with 14 million people. What an easy on the pull. I like your face. Let's get some food. Okay. Duh. Okay. She met the guy, and he set off more alarm bells. Duh, I drove 45 minutes to his house. He's standing outside of that, the regretful gallery counter. He walks up to my car and he goes, I've lost my keys. Can you drive us there? Should I have just left him right there and gone home? Yes. Did I? No. Okay. The night got even more nightmarish when All right. The night got even more nightmarish when they drove to Taco Bell drive-thru per the creeper's request. That's the new word for dudes. Girls, they want to put out there and they put down that you're a creep. Creep! The creeper's request. And he leaned over and said, I would like 100 tacos. Thank you. She remembered. That's good that she had recall of the taco-age. All right. We get to the window and he starts patting his body like, did you forget your wallet? Lamented the bedeviled woman, who ended up shelling out $149 for the tortilla fiend's ludicrous order. However, that was only the tip of the iceberg lettuce. Let's see. She goes, I buy 100 tacos and asked him, where do we go now? And he said, back to my house, man. Let's see. So she keeps mentioning that she's going against her better judgment. Apparently not, since she's there and she did that. She bought the tacos. And now she's driving the guy back to his house. She said, okay, this is happening. I'm committed to this now. It's happening. What's happening? It's happening. She's committed to it. It's happening. Does her smoking hot husband know this man? Did she meet him at Arby's? What's the deal? The girl's at Arby's buying this other guy 100 roast beef sandwiches, and there was a smoking hot guy in there. Upon arriving to the freaky fellow's house, let's see, Mr. Wrong dumped out the 100 hard shell tacos on the table and screamed, let's feast, at the top of his lungs, the appalled woman recalled. Yeah, you know, definitely don't eat tacos after you buy them. You know, you got to kind of put them in order and have them talk to each other like a little taco village, name them, you know, like Taco Sims, right? They proceeded to eat their Titanic Tex-Mex haul in complete silence. It's the silence of the tacos. Whereupon they are joined by the father. Of course, they're not going to eat 100 tacos. Got to get the dad in there. The dad walks up, grabs a taco, adding that he starved, devouring his quarry over them while standing next to the table. Dad kicked the awkward meter into overdrive and leaned over her with a mouthful of taco and asked if she wanted to see his studio. You mean the guy's got a studio in his house? I was like, I have never wanted to see anything less in my entire life. While downing some Taco Bell tacos, she decided that that moment at the date was completely over, or she was going to get killed. Yeah, maybe. You never know with some taco fiends, man. Thankfully, she managed to scrounge up some reparations from the horrific evening. Myers recounted leaving the house with boxes of tacos containing 94 in total. So really, she only lost 6 tacos, which ain't that much money. Before turning to the son and the father and saying, thank you for this experience. You will never hear from me again. They're probably like, remember that crazy taco girl who took out all the tacos? Myers' wild story captivated her 200,000. She has 200,000 TikTok followers. That's the real story here. And how this is. And these things just kind of focus on people who are complete derelicts who do the dumbest thing you've ever seen. And that's like their freak show. It's the carnival. Like back in the day, carnival, man. The freak show, right? Oh my God. I'm so happy you took your tacos with you, one ride or die girl wrote. You may have been going with the flow in the beginning, but in the end, your priorities were good. Those were my damn tacos, Myers replied. So this is the deal. People are nuts, man. People are crazy. And girls been doing that to guys for years. You know, kind of women use men for stuff, and now men are using women for stuff. It's not going to work out well. I think people just kind of need to blend together. And, you know, whatever happened to, like, good old-fashioned romance, being there for each other, loving, caring, all that? It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist because of people, all right? People. So, another one, this girl. Girlfriend draws up 17-page contract for Tinder flame after dating for 2 weeks. So you're going out with a girl, all right? And she, a couple weeks, she flips you with a 17-page relationship contract. One, do you sign or not sign? You know, contracts are legal obligations, man. You know what I mean? If you sign, even verbal agreements, you got to be careful. Careful with that I love you stuff. They get you in court. All right. Let's see. Annie Wright, 21 years old, drafted a 17-page relationship contract after dating her now boyfriend of only 2 weeks. While it's no 18-page letter to Ross Geller, Wright's contract to her boyfriend. I don't know that reference, but Michael Head, his name is, 23, was as extensive. The contract came with four main objectives: honesty, communication, awareness of partners' needs, and clarity and alignment in their intentions. I made the idea as a joke. Then he said, no, seriously. We can do that, and we could talk about having a contract, right? An Atlanta, Georgia native told Kennedy News, and she's pretty cute. Not cute enough for a contract, but cute. Look at the dude. He looks like the kind of guy that would sign a contract like that, man. Oh, he's definitely the kind of guy. I got to be able to share my screen with you guys. See, this picture, she's not cute, and she looks very clingy. She's like clinging on to him like they're crazy glued together. I like being close, but clingy is too much, man. Let's see. The couple met last October on Tinder, and Wright left a toxic relationship. She was then determined to make the relationship with a law student work out. So she left a toxic relationship, and now she's going to make this dude pay for that. And that's exactly what it is. Right? This couple, they both look like that Petito and that other dude. They're just like, you know what? There's a lot of them out there, man. Instant replay. At the time, I had braces in college, and I was very embarrassed, said Wright. I was also pandemic time, it was. But I got to the point where I was like, screw it. I'm going on dates with guys, and I don't care anymore. I matched with almost anybody on Tinder that would tell my matches. I never used Tinder, so I have no idea what they're even talking about. I guess, yeah, you're on the air, and I know that like, people swipe and do that, and then people get matched. I don't know. So she matched with everybody. It could have been anybody. Didn't matter who it was. I'm going on a walk with my dog at 2 p.m. today. Are you free? It was like a fluke that I met him. This is what the guy said. I was going on 3 Tinder dates a week to go out there and meet people. Who do you think was paying for her food? Thankfully, when Wright met, my brain just didn't read that sentence right. Thankfully, when Wright met Head, thankfully, when Wright met Head, they instantly clicked. Right? He was like, I want us to be boyfriend and girlfriend, Wright said. In order to be ready for that, we have to lay out some serious ground rules. I'd be like, we'll talk about it in the morning. You gotta be able to stall girls. Ground rules, we'll talk about it in the morning. You know what I mean? Let's make it time. About like 11:30. After tonight, within the 17-page document, right outlined all of her expectations for their relationship, which asked Head for no silent treatment, to pay for date nights. All right. All right. Let me read that line again. Her 17-page contract says no silent treatment. That's fine. To pay for date nights. So in the contract that he signed, he needs to pay for all of their date nights, you know, so she's not going to flip any cash. I guess she doesn't think the relationship is worth paying for any money in there, you know. Nothing wrong with girls paying for things. Nothing wrong with girls paying for date night. Nothing wrong with girls buying a guy a gift. Ask J-Lo. Pay for date nights. So you know what this contract's all about. Payola. And not to isolate her from her loved ones. Ah. So the ex-boyfriend, she probably paid, and then he was trying to get in between her and her loved ones, and he gave her the silent treatment all the time. You can just see it. You can just tell. Right? Then he needs to have his own contract. You know? Sex all the time. You know what I mean? Whenever and wherever. Elevator, bathroom, car. Doesn't matter. That's guy's only contract right there. Like, here's my contract. It's one page. It's actually in the fortune cookie. Sex all the time. Okay. I'll pay for meals. But I got a fortune cookie for you. We printed out terms and conditions. I went over to his place. We sat on either end of the bed, naked. Not ranking, and read them out loud, she recalls. Nice being the neighbor, listening, probably some 55-year-old dude, single, listening to this guy spilling out his guts to this girl. You don't get this unless you sign on the dotted line. You're paying for dates. Oh, yeah? You just became a fan of White Castle then. You know, some McDonald's on coupon day. I wonder if this stipulates like how the amount of money, like pay for dates, but like, you know, what type of restaurants, what type of places. You know what I mean? Interesting. So, right, here we go. She recalls, I feel like the biggest issue I had in my last relationship was it felt like boundaries of mine were crossed that I never established. I was like, this time I'll write them out and no one can cross my boundaries. Yeah, nobody ever violated a contract before. Come on, man. What if the guy's still with her? Michael's also pre-law, so he was pretty keen on the idea of making a contract. Well, he probably added a whole bunch of stuff then. Depends on how pre-law he is, man. If you're pre-law, you definitely want a real lawyer to do something like this. I mean, a legally binding contract. Woo, look at her, man. I don't know. She looks pretty good in this picture. She kind of looks like a young Jennifer Aniston, maybe a little cuter. And the dude just looks like one. He just got off a turnip cart. Look at his. He got some lawyer shoes on. Within the 17-page document. All right. We did it all right. Additionally, she asked for a romantic gesture once every 2 weeks and to work out at least 5 times a week. That's sex, sex, and sex right there. Right there, you know? We treat our relationship almost like a business interaction. Oh, yeah, where he's paying all the bills. And she gets there and you're like, woohoo! And then she'll be back on the carousel at some point, monkey branch to somebody else, and the guy will just be like, with his contract, she'll probably still hold him to it. You know? We deal with conflict like partners in business would. We sit down and treat it more like we're partners in life, and love is an added bonus. So they have a corporation. Clearly something is working for the two of them as they're approaching their anniversary. Wright joked that her boyfriend will want to add a clause or two of his own, including taking off shoes in his apartment, which she always forgets to do. Oh, ridiculous. So he didn't get to add anything in there. This has been a game changer, Wright said, who is surprised. More couples don't draw up contracts. I'd recommend all couples have one. It's the best thing ever. Laughing every guy out there. Every dude out there laughing their ass off. Even girls. Who the hell wants a contract with somebody? Really? Takes all the fun out of it, man. It really does. People just fall into relationships, said Wright. This makes me know what I'm signing up for. I live in constant fear of waking up 2 years into a relationship and realizing my partner doesn't have the same life plan as me. Try 14. 2 years. My God. You put 1 or 2 years into a relationship, but you don't agree on core things. Oh, come on, man. Well, yeah, like you need a contract for that. How about you just talk to someone, see what they're all about? And when a guy says something, believe him. When a girl says something, believe her. Don't try to do the opposite. Don't try to get them into being someone who they're not. You know, that happens too often. Okay. Oh, my man's just a big lump of clay, and I'm going to form him into what I want. If you don't like the person that you're with, go find someone else that you like, you know, and don't torture the guy for your past crappy relationship. And who's to say it was the other guy who was the crappy one in that relationship? Because this woman seems like she's got some issues for sure. You know what I mean? Whatever. I don't like it. I don't like it. And I have to end the show, I guess. Do we have time to talk about anything else? You know what? How Mayor de Blasio was jeered at the Columbus Day Parade. I love that. You know, he's sitting in the middle of a city that's crumbling. It's got so much violence and murder. Kids getting killed. Teenagers getting killed. All kinds of shootings going on everywhere. People getting mugged and killed and whatever. It's a bloodbath in the city. And police have no power anymore. The criminals are going into high-end restaurants and robbing people at dinner. There's these gangs going around doing this, and the more the press tells people about it, the more these gangs form, and they know they can walk in there with any kind of weapon. They can walk in there with hammers. They can walk in there with anything. Just 30 or 40 people come in, you know, angry-looking thugs come in looking at you eating your dinner. You're going to hand them whatever you got. And this is, you know what? It's like the train robberies back in the day with these guys, you know, stopping the train, going in there with guns, robbing everybody. You know, this is the type of stuff that's being allowed in New York City. So who's going to stop it? I don't know. Nobody. People won't stop it, you know? And I don't know. It's ugly, man. I have time for one more story. Paul McCartney claims John Lennon, and he blames John Lennon for the Beatles split. Now, the Beatles, to me, is an okay band. They were iconic, big from where they were. Now, if I listen to their music, it doesn't really have an appeal to me. It's kind of campy and whatever. If you love it, you love it. You don't. It's just that kind of stuff, right? I like music that's deep. I like lyrics that are deep. And, you know, them I didn't like. Oh, they're okay. When I was 13, my friend across the street, Roberto, who was like 3 years older than me, listened to the Beatles. And it was, you know, it was like, go over to his place, got the Beatles. So, yeah, Beatles, right? So, but it was definitely John Lennon. And he let that wacko Yoko Ono get involved. And it was their split. So Paul McCartney is insisting it was bandmate and songwriting partner John Lennon who decided the Beatles couldn't work out in 1970. And but it's funny that, you know, there's like old, you know, John Lennon's dead for a lot of years. This guy's an old grandpa, but they're still talking about it, you know. I didn't instigate the split. That was our Johnny McCarthy moment. All right. I'm not the person who I was with L. John McCarthy's. I'm not the person who instigated the split. Oh, no, no, he said, according to a preview in this issue. John walked into the room one day and I said, I'm leaving the Beatles. Oh, John walked in the room and he said, I'm leaving the Beatles. And that started the whole split. But it was Yoko Ono. I don't have time to continue with this crap, but it was Yoko Ono, man. She's the one who got in the way, and she's the one who instigated the split. She's the one who got a hold of John Lennon. You see how the Prince is with his Malibu Barbie girl? You see how Ben Affleck is with his J-Lo? You see all these guys get just like going to the trance? That's it. Same thing, man. Same. And they'll go in there and they'll completely destroy a situation and they'll laugh about it because it's fun for them. Anyway, this is me ending the show. Red Pill News, Red Pill News, Red Pill News. Take the red pill. I'll see you guys next week on United Public Radio Network. Bye.